Yes, hello all. Today I'm going to present you last updates on Rendezvous Service, which is based, as Missy said, on Jitsi technology. Which these are the main updates we've committed in March on our Rendezvous platform. These updates are very important because they are drastically change the application as we know before these developments. So I'm going to talk about GCOFO in more detail, authentication, multi-bridge support, load balancing, last N, nightly support, and Firefox extension in a close future, and statistics and logging systems. First of all, in April, there was an announcement which is very important for our project, which was the Atlassian acquisition for BlueJimp team. So the Jitsi technology was acquired by a large group, which is Atlassian. So for us, it was a very great question because it could be mean that the project could stop if they don't continue to provide improvement and development as an open source project. But both Atlassian and BlueJimp told us all the development will be provided as open source. So for us, it's great news because Atlassian has got an investment, and I think they are going to provide the power that Renater can provide itself to develop improvement on the SFU technology, which is a Jitsi video bridge. So the counterpart of this it means that we can't develop all the things we would in our main roadmap. Because, as I know, Atlassian would embed the Jitsi video bridge into HipChat, and I think they will focus first on this integration. But BlueJimp team will concentrate on the video bridge, GCASE, GRecon, and Jitsi Meet, which cover the main parts of Rendezvous Service and what is concerning the Giant community. This slide shows the current status of our application deployment and what are the main the core application and the alternate component. I don't know if you will see the different colors, but in the center, you've got Jitsi Meet, GCOFO, and Video Bridges, which are in green with the IDP shibboleth. This means it is currently developed and deployed. On the left side, you've got FreeSwitch and GCASE in yellow. It means work is in progress. Currently, we are able to provide outgoing calls from a video bridge to a SIP phone. But what is more interesting for us is the ingoing call, and we want to provide the ability for SIP phones to join a room through a free switch. For this, it will be necessary to develop a wrapper in free switch, and this part is not yet started. On the right side, in red, Gericon and Gipo Pro are the two components which are necessary to provide recording ability for recording your conference. Its color is red because it's not yet started, but it's on the roadmap. This stack shows you the operator side view. On the top level, you've got the service, as it was shown in the previous slide. And the middleware side, the middleware component is the development of REST API for each component in the backend. What we want to provide for operators is an easy way to communicate with an underlayer, technical layer we developed and or we integrate. Such a service provider, a log system, and statistics system. We've also have got some components which are more focused on monitoring or discovery service and an orchestration system. This will be a component. This component will be necessary if we want to provide a large deployment system or supervision system. So, we are now focused on the real development we've just committed in March. The first one, which is the main important, is the GCOFO. GCOFO means Jitsi Conference Focus, and it's a component which in the previous version of Jitsi Meet was embedded into a browser, the browser. Remember, if you have already done a conference into Jitsi, you've got a star, which means you've got a focus, and which means you are the boss of the conference. And this component, while it was embedded into the browser, was a source of instability, because if your browser crashed, the world participant falls down and kick out the conference. What we did, we take this component and push it into a server side. And now, this is a server which allocates and defines who is the boss of the conference. With this feature, we are now able to provide some other features, and we are going to see the main roles of the GCOFO component. First, GCOFO manage Colibri session between your browser and the Jitsi Video Bridge. As you know, maybe, media is managed between your browser and the Video Bridge between Jiggle session, which is XMPP way to manage media streams. And GCOFO, all the Jiggle session pass through the GCOFO. So it is now a central component. Second point, it's the bridge load balancing. GCOFO embed the algorithm to make the load balancing. This is the GCOFO which decides to where your conference will take place. On which video bridge. Third, it can handle client authentication, because authentication was a requirement from Renate, and it's possible now through the GCOFO. And four, it takes part in some features implementation like audio muting, recording when we implemented it, and SIP calls. And it could verify user permissions because with our development for provider service, we are able to manage the moderators list. Authentication. Today, it's the only way to create a room in Jitsi Meet and rendezvous service is to be authenticated. Remember before March, any one of you could create a room without any check of anybody. So the whole worldwide could join a rendezvous. It was free. It's an old time and it's now finished because the only way to create the room is to prove you are a part of a Géant community. We joined EduGain. So if you are in EduGain, you could create your room by authentication on your IDP. Okay. But of course, if your participants are not in our community, they could join your room because when you are authenticated, you create the room and then they can join it without any authentication. Inside the room, you've got the ability to authenticate yourself. But you are inside, and the room is already created. And there is a nice feature because what happens when, for example, you ask somebody to join you into a room, but you are not yet authenticated, and the room is not yet created. So your participant is waiting for the room creation, and without any other action, as soon as you have created your room, you enter into the room. So it's nice because participants haven't got to refresh their browser. Okay. Multi-bridge support. It was a requirement because this feature allows us to avoid failover service. Before March, we are running with one bridge, which means that when the bridge was done, the service was down. Now, if one bridge down, only one bridge is down, but the service is running, okay? Because when you want to create a room, all creation are routed on the other bridge, and it's the service is still running, and we have time to restart the Jitsi Video Bridge service, which is in failover. So in Renata, we deployed two bridges. And with these two bridges, we are able also to implement the load balancing. So when users create rooms, the algorithm implemented in the GCOFO allow us to share the workload on the two bridges. So load balancing provided by GCOFO, as I said, and it requires to run more than one bridge. This feature could be improved because for the moment, live registration is not yet supported. I mean, we have to restart GCOFO and Prosody services to register a video bridge. Okay, we are asynchronously setting video bridges and GCOFO and Prosody service, but to register really the video bridge, we have to restart these two components, which are essentially for the rendezvous service. And if we restart while there are sessions, all sessions are dropped. So I hope we will be soon able to get live registrations. So now, if we want to register a video bridge, we have to schedule this registration while there is no session during the night, for example. This diagram shows you the two video bridges, and it shows the load balancing system is working because we've got an almost similar workload on the two bridges. Last end support. This is a pretty nice feature because we are not yet able to activate the simulcast. I'll talk about this in the next slide. But Last End is a way to improve our way to operate a large participant number into a conference. So Last End means that only the N last participant streams their media. So we set it in the rendezvous platform last N to 3, which means you are able to see only the three last participants which are talk. But when a participant begin to talk, it is detected by the video bridge, and he refresh the last N stack, and you can see and hear him because he began to stream its own media. It's important because video bridges are SFUs, and if we try a rendezvous, in some cases it's it could be hard for computers which are very low in CPU and memory. So it was defined rendezvous and Jitsi Meet could support 12 participant number into in conference, but in reality it could be hard for a laptop or a computer to participate into such a conference. With Last N, I think we could be able to provide a more efficient way to large participant number into a conference. Last week we tested a conference with 19 participants. I wrote a report to BlueJimp because there were good things and there were things to improve. I think the technology is good, but need to be improved. But it is activated because we are able to provide 12 participants. And if you want to experiment more than 12 participants, your feedbacks will help us. Nightly support. Renate decided during the pilot phase to support Firefox as browser into conference. So BlueJimp worked with Mozilla for this feature, and we activated the nightly support. Nightly, maybe you know, it's the development version of Firefox. So it's already able for you, if you have nightly, to join a conference. And this also could help us to improve on our side development if it's needed. But Firefox does not support simulcast, and it's the reason why we don't activate simulcast on our platform. It could be a great way to improve the platform and the user experience, but we decided to provide the Firefox support before. REST API. Renater developed a REST API to manage the service, because for the moment the only way to create a room is to connect on the portal and to create as ad hoc conference. But we planned, we scheduled that we could implement a kind of calendar to schedule conference, and for this we have to prevent name collisions. So there will be a system when we reserve a URL for a conference name, for example, and we have to be sure that when you want to create an ad hoc conference, there will be no collision, okay? So this is deployed, and now we have to deploy the schedule system for plan your conference. With this REST API, we have also the ability to manage moderators list, and this will be a nice feature when we provide SIP call and recording features, because recording feature could be expensive due to storage and CPU processing, so we have to control it. We also developed, BlueJean developed for Renater a stats and logging system. It was very important. Logging system is the ability to the system to take information from your browser to troubleshoot when there is an issue into a conference, and to determine where is the problem, or is it a bug into the system, JITSIMIT. We have already detected some of them with this system. And in another end, issue could be on browser size, and we can also detect it. So it's very, very important to take the benefit of this system, because it's the only way to improve the quality of the system and make development which are more focused on the real bug. So there are three sources for statistics and logging, which are GCOFO, GTVBridge, and Browser. But browser informations are collected through GCOFO. The main information are WebRTC internals you can find into Chrome browser, or and the SDP description, etc. So since March, I've got the relevant number. We've operated 5,000 conferences, and this represented 104 25 days of cumulative time of conferences and media stream. The average time of a conference is 42 minutes. This number, it was impossible for us to provide this kind of numbers before our system. And I have to develop more treatment to be more precise. And the next step is to wrap the IDP information, and we could be able to provide to your NREN your consumption, for example, for of resources, etc., etc. It could be very nice for as an operator view. So next step, we are waiting for the Firefox support. We hope the next version 38 will commit the whole development that are required to support multi-stream, which are the requirement to operate to take part of a conference with JITSI Video Bridge. We want to build a European mesh of video bridges, and I've scheduled some works with GRNet, Switch, and SurfNet during the end of the of May. It was the first step because we have to define some workflows and many things to operate a mesh of video bridges. We have also to improve the infrastructure through the stack, the operator stack, and to develop use cases. I think that's all because there's still a lot of things to do. But for example, what I don't write here is the study of how to use the API. For example, once we've got a mesh of bridges, okay, it could be very nice for any of them, of you, for example, to be able to embed, for example, media, video, audio capabilities into applications. And maybe it could be possible through the API of JITSI Meet, which could be available through the service we are providing. So there are many, many other things, nice other things to do and to develop. And, so this is the current status of our work. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? If we have a question from remote, please go ahead. If not, then Peter has one question.
I have several questions, but I'm just wondering. So the first thing is that you said in the beginning that there is this risk that with the new acquisition of BlueJIMS and the other companies, is there any risk that the open source JITSI project will be discontinued or not supported anymore? No, or you're not getting such a signal?
The announcement from Emil and Atlassian was clear. The JITSI project continue as open source project.
Because I'm guessing that you're heavily relying on their knowledge and expertise with regards of the code, right? Because the fact that the code is open source,
yes,
doesn't mean that, you know,
yes,
we have,
but
you have the efforts, you have the efforts to understand
of
and
course
get the ownership on
of
the
course
code.
But during my work with BlueJIMP, I worked close to developers. And for example, one of my requirements was to be able to understand how was implemented the JCOFO, for example. I think, for example, JITSI Video Bridge is very difficult because there are many hours of development on the GC video bridge. When you are, when you see the whole RFCs that are implemented into the GC video bridge, I think it's not realistic to think to.
So it's not realistic that for us to just fork the code and get ownership on
yes,
it. And for,
right. Exactly. I was focused on this.
So from that aspect, there is no difference between Jitsi and video in a sense that you have to talk to the lead developers anyway, and we are heavily relying on them to implement stuff inside. All right. The other question is that you're putting all these application layer on top of the infrastructure that you have. So how much of that application layer is independent or dependent on the underlying Jitsi infrastructure? So is there, in other words, is there a way to, you know, swap Jitsi with video and your application layer will still work on top of that, or it's pretty much you know, embedded or linked together with the underlying infrastructure?
What is possible is to take a video bridge and implement it into another application, for example. So it's a SFU and it is provided. But if you do this, you have to develop signaling system or integrate it into.
Right, so for instance, you said you're developing this REST API.
Yes, but
for managing the rooms and the calendars and stuff like that. So that application layer can then be put on top of other solutions as well.
What we did with the REST API is to the GCOFO will. Is able to communicate, to request, to query the REST API to get information. So, for example, you want to create a room. GCOFO will ask to the REST API if the room is available. This kind of thing. So after, you can develop your own system and. I'm not sure it's more difficult to implement it into GCOFO. It's not the more difficult part if you want to customize this.
And my last question, I really like the idea of building this distributed video router infrastructure across Europe using Jitsi or whatever technology you want to use. But I'm just wondering, when you develop your application layer on top of that, do you think about providing some northbound interfaces as well to any higher level service on top, so other services can actually access your domain and request, you know, for rooms or for whatever stuff automatically? Would that be an option? Because then I can imagine, you know, sort of Géant or the SA8 activity actually providing the higher level European level service within Géant that then accessing the various domains via standard interfaces.
For now, the only way to access to Video Bridge is you can have one portal, one GCOFO, and multi Video Bridge. What could be great is the ability to a Video Bridge to be a part of multi portals and GCOFO. It's not yet ready, but we could imagine. It's possible to orientate the development on this way.
Definitely, yes.
Secondly, here I talked about a discovery service, which will be embedded into the directly into the infrastructure. I want to work on this subject because it could be the ability to the infrastructure to locate video bridges. To be queried by the application directly. For example, if I want to know where, if I want to target a video bridge specifically, for example, I could query directly the infrastructure to locate it. And I think. Such a discovery service here, it's console, but it could be etcd, maybe, I don't know it, but I think if we are already able to implement such system that could be light the next algorithm, for example, of load balancing. Because the infrastructure could tell told you, for example, that this video bridge and this bandwidth is overloaded. So we could reroute, for example. But it could be great if we were able to make some domains to particular entities, etc. To, for example, in France, maybe we want to stay in France to operate the conference, and in other countries, it could be the same.
So technically, one room, virtual room, can only be hosted by one server, right? So there is
yes,
no way to.
For now, yes.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, but we would like to be able also to make a conference between more than one bridge, because if you are in Greece, for example, or
so
in
that,
Hungary,
yeah, so that would be
you could join your closed video bridge, and in France, my video bridge, and
yeah, exactly. So from the high level service architecture point of view, I can imagine that each of these domains, they're accessing their own server within their own service domain, right? So they're using the tools, the technology, the infrastructure that they are familiar with. And then on a higher level, we should just make sure that these domains
yes.
interoperate or can talk to each other, so these rooms can be linked together. People can talk. Yeah, interesting.
It was one of our requirements, but it was not possible to implement it at this step of the and we have privileged the logging system.
Exactly. I understand. So
it's
more like a longer term vision, but that's why we are here,
yes,
to understand,
course,
you know, in
course,
which way we should progress with this. And I pretty much like the idea that you're talking to Surfnet, Switch,
yes,
NodeUnit, maybe, I don't know, to try and implement various domains of Jitsi and see how these domains then can talk to each other. And obviously on top of that, Jayan can provide or could provide
yes.
some kind of higher level, you know, service abstraction, where you know the user doesn't have to know, you know, which system or which
exactly.
domain they're actually using. That they just want to communicate
yes.
with each other, right? Okay, cool. Thank you.
Well, thanks. I understood that you asked three questions, so I will moderate the frank answers related to the question one, the dependencies on the code. If you want to be up to speed and move fast forward in order to deploy the services, you of course need to rely now on the developers and the Jitsi team, because they are really straightforward. They have the knowledge of the code and they are really efficient. They can do it's amazing in the pace they can move forward when you are requesting features to them. As a record, for instance, the load balancing features was a matter for them of, I would say, correct me, three months after the order form was issued. So it's really impressive how they can move forward and. However, you still have the possibility to check out the code as I did and try to look at the portion of the JavaScript code around the video bridge, the C code around the inside the core bridge that essentially are the traduction of the RFCs. But as Frank already said, the RFCs are really some might be hard to read and sometimes cumbersome to understand. But at some point, I would say that it's not impossible to come over and come over the hassle to learn the code, but it is a matter of resources in that sense. So as soon as you have the possibility to have one or two people really 100% dedicated to software C JavaScript development. It is something that can be, that is realistic to take over the code fork. But up to now, as per our discussion with Emil, it's not something that we should be afraid. Maybe in the midterm, but up to now, it should be okay. Your second question, I guess, was related to the to the really video bridge resources to the domain. No? Maybe it is the latter one. But when you mentioned that we could put a video bridge and use the same application layer, the philosophy around the video bridge is to have a JavaScript API that helps you to automate the video bridge actions. So if you, as soon as you have the same JavaScript API, you can of course change the engine and put a video engine. However, you have to make sure that this JavaScript layer is a API is able to be can map the JavaScript the video API. Layer, yeah. So this is more really, I would say, maybe impossible. However, the idea of having a video bridge engine is to think about the video bridge resources as a CPU resources. So let's say that you have a distributed video bridge resources and build a JavaScript API on top of it. What you can do is to deploy more use cases. The real final goal, at least for Renater, is not to develop Rendezvous itself, but to deploy various applications that can use the same video bridge resources as Rendezvous is using now. So let's say that you have a health community that is really interested in using video WebRTC video bridge capabilities. We can think about having a set of developer the specialists to develop applications that can automate actions related to the video bridge and provide a custom application for a specific community. So that is the goal of Frank architecture. For the third question, we were talking about having a distributed video bridge in multiple domains. Up to now, we just focused on one portal application for simplicity's sake, because there are a lot of things going on, and there are not that much people in our team. There is basically two people, Frank and Frank. So, specialist, subject matter expert. But the idea is to move forward on the technology deployment, but also gain some knowledge in rapid deployment via activities via cloud via cloud services, and we're trying to see how we can map the process to extend video bridge capability on multiple domains, and to see if the technology such as building a video bridge container can help us to deploy this more quickly.
Just a precision, because I forgot, all developments are committed into the GitHub repository in the GIMP and is open source.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your presentation.